When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keats and Chapman once climbed Vesuvius and stood looking down into the volcano, watching the bubbling lava and considering the sterile ebullience of the stony entrails of the earth. Chapman shuddered as if with cold or fear.
"Will you have a drop of the crater?"
Keats said.
"Gino se potinid, rugo se potinid, pashto se potinid, foster se potin, agas in chinoro kaliwid, ho do shis di jowl go hifran se potin."
That's holy water, by the way.
Yeah.
Our Lord the water, blessed by this gentleman.
Don't say too much.
He'll tell you, he's the expert.
The first time I've ever taken potin, so cheers.
Well, I'd advise you to take it slowly, if you'll take the advice from a fool.
It's something like vodka, isn't it?
What did I say now? I'd say it's more a little more good potion is a little more potent than vodka.
Yeah, but that's similar to
taste. Same taste, same look. Yes. Actually, it's raw alcohol.
How much do they charge for potion, out of curiosity?
Oh, I think it's £5 now, is it?
No, £2 a bottle.
No. There's no inflation in our part of the world, that's right.
Oh, no.
Or full bottle, or lemonade. Huge bottle.
Tadhg Justice, Clonbannon, County Cork, a weightlifter who will shortly wrestle in the United States, told District Justice O'Connell in Kanturk Court that he rubbed potsheen into his muscles to keep him warm for competitions. "I have heard of it being rubbed on greyhounds, but not on athletes until today," said the District Justice. "A lot has been said about athletes taking drugs to improve their performances, but at least using potsheen is something new."
Potsheen is Ireland's illicit whisky. No one can say for certain when men began to distill it, but the revenue commissioners signalled an all-out attack on the potsheen makers in the middle of the 17th century. The battle has lasted a few centuries and the final victory has yet to be won. In the intervening years, the Mountain Dew has been the lonely man's mistress, the working man's reward, the poor man's whisky. Prince of visions, dreams, hallucinations and delusions. Ghosts, banshees, leprechauns and fairies are deeply in its debt. White horses and headless coaches have appeared at its bidding. It has fired men to sing its praise in song. It has stoked the fires of passion, stimulating love and hate. Under its influence, men have loved, fought and died. But it has other aspects. A source of income for the poorest of the poor. A cure for illness. A fiery curtain of oblivion against centuries of misery, poverty and oppression. A fire in the gut to give a man a temporary sense of independence and individuality. It appeared at births, deaths and marriages, bringing a sparkle to an otherwise gloomy and monotonous existence. And today, the tradition continues. The distiller has more modern and sophisticated equipment. Whether the final product is better or not is another matter. Some say it is. Others claim that the people in Connemara now use it as a substitute for Parazone. At any rate, the potsheen maker has always liked wild terrain with turf and water close at hand.
Now the day is extremely cold and wind is blowing and it's raining and we're in a boat. Travelling out on a boat. Now we're approaching the island, and on the island there are people making the Mountain Dew or the potsheen or a derter. Well, this boat we're in is a large boat, blue in colour, and it's being rowed out by a man out to the island. we approach the island. There are little houses on the island. I'm coming right up now. There's a little key also for the boat. You can hear the sound of the oars now being pulled. So we pull into the little quay, which is very sheltered. It's not as cold anymore now. It's not as cold as it was out in the middle of the lake anyway. And now we're coming up to the little slip now. Now here we're on the outside of the shed and there's a strong smell of beer, spirits being distilled, and smoke rising from the barrels here. It's raining and one barrel is being emptied into another with a bucket. There's smoke rising from the barrels. Inside in the shed here, it's very dark in here, and the sound that we hear is the sound of gas and of the poutine actually boiling, and that there is a strong smell of barley, and extremely warm in here as opposed to outside where it is very cold. It's a small little shed, very compact, and all along by the walls there are barrels. Some of them I'm sure full of poutine, others in which the poutine has been distilled.
Der vinch am ochtan kotki gesorne vinzener vin sprait enchen kromodiste font kor agos ke chukro der hasins modin chino i no tka ma tsila tsira hosko der gvet mo dirago ve enjer patine agos shinen enchen dina tamo di hurte shne vi ma herig smo ohre hurte reg sa hashne vi so bohar shrole shen dina tan ni dgon enchen ste
inishtum katta ishtik savarelishin
Well, it's hard to see the stench in his two blood. So then, how to make the color run his two blood? And two blood is the hand, it's time to check the mark on the yard and turn it to the yard. I was scared me and my two blood right. I was scared of the face, because he more than the best, and even I never knew any bigger. So,
couple of guys. Chen two blood is in put here, put in Hagenson was. Here, put in Hagenson was as a three worm. Tas eisiau'n rôl oedd, mae ôl yn tŵn i'n gwybod, wel ni eith dŵl at wyrnod lan Merica, ond ta da gwnt yn eisiau. Tas eisiau oedd. Dŵl mis wedi gwybod ei agos, ni mor anna dŵl, mae gwybod yn ôl yn glyn o'r ni fe ni'n anna siŵl eisiau chael oedd eisiau. Agos mae'r lag yn tied eisiau, ni fach dyn i byn anna eisiau, agos ni fach mor anna gael hwn.
So they used to have a notice in the past that owners don't play cards with a man unless you knew his mother. But it's, I think the same thing goes with poutine. If you knew the man and knew his background, and you got good poutine, I've had poutine of all sorts of varieties, you know, but you can really get good stuff. A very dear deceased Irish author used to provide me with Páirc Óg Conaire to wit, with the most excellent stuff that he got from somewhere in the West. But not only that, I still have an ox's horn that he gave me. And you were to drink it out of the ox's horn. It just holds about a small one and a half. And he said, that's the real taste gone, not out of a glass at all, but put the poutine into the ox's horn. I never noticed that it did anything much. Maybe it does do something to the flavour.
Well, I was in the morning, I was in the morning, I was in the morning, Wel, na'r eich sef cyrra mae'n sy'n hwch eich sef ydy eich sef. Ac wrth gwrdd eich sef ydy'n mwy er oha. Ac wrth na'r eich sef terim yn sy'n byl eich sef 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 le brobeg mwyli ni, brobeg o fi ac o poen ma'r dier oha. Ac wrth byl eich sef ydy. Ac wrth gwrdd eich sef 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 ac wrth gwrdd eich sef rwynt cwerci ac wrth gwrdd eich sef mynd cwerci rwyd byl eich sef sef sef. Ac wrth gwrdd eich sef leo na sy'n. Well, how could such a piece in Paddy? I didn't dare road. No, go make a writing, not a writing chin. For a sheet cheese a butter, but in your thing for a good thing, a sheet lana, a clean sheet was a marley in yarn. Agus and chin, for a sheet cheese a potter itine. Agus and warm cheese in a lower. Agus a sheet. Rief sheet and yarn. Agus and jata hutch a cook read the worm. As a yarn. Is a shinny in a compatching.
Yeah, it tastes good. It smells good, doesn't it?
It's very clear.
Smell your water. Yeah, that's okay. That Galway stuff?
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
It's very clear.
Gets the back of the throat. That's good though, mind you. There's no. Sometimes you get it with a sort of a
sediment,
a gritty thing in it, you know, which isn't good in a gallery sort of riddle.
Is that sir the potting city maridi quichenki supula or in a city cassock ne he.
The glass retort was set up with the flaming Bunsen underneath, and as the liquid was boiling, the steam was trapped in a long-necked flask on which I sponged cold water. With our eyes, we followed the bubbling mixture and the steam turning into drops and dripping rapidly into the flask. The air was filled with the biscuity smell, and the only sound was the snore of the Bunsen. Outside was the cold air and the falling snow. Presently the master turned out the gas and held up the flask containing the clear water. "As pure as crystal," he said, and we watched him pour some of it into a tumbler, hold it in his delicate fingers, and put it to his lips. With wonder we watched him drink it, and then our eyes travelled to the dirty, cakey scum that had congealed on the glass sides of the retort. He pointed at this with his ruler. "The impurities are sifted out, and the purest of pure water remains." And for some reason he gave his roguish smile.
It was maintained that the best potheen was actually Tyrone potheen that was made up in the Spearans, and it was quite common up there, up around Greencastle and Crock and Glen Hull. And I dare say they're still at it for all I know, but they were certainly making it there in the 30s and in Oma Town to the Saddler and Bridge Lane. He had a house, you know, hanging over the river, and he had a nephew who worked with him, and they didn't get on. They had a quarrel one night. The nephew went down to Lifford, got drunk in a pub, and told the whole story to a man he was drinking with, who turned out to be a civvy guard. And the guards rang the RUC, and they raided the house. He got rid of the potheen by putting it down a spout into the river and putting the fish intoxicated, or so it was said. But he was caught with the worm and the rest of it, and that was the end of that local industry. There was a man, though, who wrote a book recently about in his own...
Tam blas atar eligedir de taşa gudunu. Ni blas fışki na patine tar. A blas mı stıfını hebri stıfını tağa kore ilya bu stıfını orna. Nu şti stıfı hoşki vişe de hoşfane var. Taşa etki stıfın işte nişer gergül yor yor galo ne vakıp eli niyer fışın taş yedi yina. Agas şine tafa galon patin gudun gus taşa kuşim kontur tıklayana olak denir bi yapınçı.
I must say the nearest I ever came to it was Jackie McGowran, God rest him, was over making a film with, so I think it was the time they were making A Quiet Man or something like that, and he brought back a lot of stuff with him, and I remember having quite a night with Jack on this. The only trouble was that we'd been having a good dinner before that and had drank some brandy after dinner and then had some of this stuff on top of it, and I would never want to feel that way again. One sure thing it would do was that it would stop you drinking for a month afterwards, because even the sight of a bottle of stout, you began to feel not so much intoxicated as just downright ill.
Stop that.
Potency. Have a look at it from the point of view of purity.
Righto. That's the test always. When you can get the bubbles on top of it. Huh? And when they stay on it.
Not too good.
No.
It could be 75% good.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll just try. One of the other tests then is lighting it.
Yes.
Just try that.
Oh, it's all right. I mean, it hasn't got things like clock or a minute or something to put into it. What do you call it? Bluestone, something to put it into.
No bluestone.
No, nothing at all like that. No.
Pardon. And it's very clear now.
It is.
They tell me that since they use sugar, that sometimes a brown sediment appears after. It's about 6 months.
It's not too good either, they say. Oh. That's all right.
That's lighting, isn't it?
It is, more or less.
Blue flame.
That's right.
The Sheebean is the distribution centre. In the past, it was an unlicensed pub, where people could meet, drink, sing and dance. Today, because of the increased mobility of police, the Sheebean is simply an outlet, a poteen off-licence. The Sheebean keeper may or may not also be the local distiller.
This is the place, is it? We're here now. This is the Sheebean. I left the engine running a minute ago. You flash the lights there now.
Right.
Any sign of life in there?
No. Where's somebody at the window there? Curtain slip.
So you can switch off the lights now.
Telefon. Afon tabu diye sen alı ki Kazakistan hoş gördü. Yemeye yala yefi.
O yoksan sen defi taşa kaçtın.
Ulan o şeyin
alı. Malum ustalar nasıl müslüm ayı. Malum bu ima nasıl kitle niye seyir.
Ulan o malum.
Hangi şey de sor.
Hani hep bu tu niye seyir. Şan prez kendi kalı ona nişe.
Ne ya? Kohtu şeysi bu hırsı yahtı var. Diğer fara kuş aşağısı şey oldu.
O neydi sen?
Ama maşına hiç durmadım. Bu yatıp yukarı dağa kalkıp.
Telefon.
Ağabeyim.
When I was young, I danced and sung and drank good whiskey too. Each Sheebean shop that kept a drop of the real old Mountain Dew. With a poteen still on every hill, the peelers had no call. Round Sweet Stradone I am well known, round Levy and Grouse Hall.
And the other side, the negative side, it was there was no restriction on it. Say, a half a dozen men would go into a Sheebean at 8 o'clock at night, and they could drink on till morning. And of course, that couldn't be good for their bodies. Furthermore, in the Sheebeans, I saw a very bad effect on certain children. They were eternally watching out for police. Watching out for this, that and the other. And I'm afraid I have to say they were trained to tell lies from a very early period. And then, something else. This thing called spiadóireacht and the informer are two very bad words in English and Irish, in Ireland, in the Irish context. And I noticed this. Supposing you were making poteen, and yours truly, I'd be jealous of you. And I'd write to the local police. And, as they say in the West of Ireland, report you. And you probably would do it to me. So then the common enemy had us, etc.
To assist the revenue was a perilous matter. In 1817, an Inishowen family, supposed to be informers, narrowly escaped with their lives when their house was burnt down. Some years earlier, a Clare man, thought to have informed on his distilling neighbours, was used in a shocking manner, having one of his ears or the part of his cheek cut off, his head shockingly battered, and his body and limbs lacerated all over.
That's a good question. I think the life has gone in Connemara now. At least I haven't heard of it for a long time. But I remember years ago there were two places where at Christmas time it was used heavily, because one used to see cases on the paper. One was Lettermore, and the other that awful place called Carna, where they carry the knife to bed.
The Shebeen houses could get a little bit violent, and in fact I know a man, a newspaper man now retired, who's living over in Sligo, who told me a rather gruesome story about a fellow leaving a Shebeen house over in the Sligo area, and on the way home he just walks over the edge of a cliff. You know, he was so demented on this stuff. And there is no question or doubt about it that the drinking of, you know, pretty raw spirits must have led to some ferocious drunken scenes and some diabolical hangovers. I wouldn't like to have a potching hangover.
The sad side of things, I remember a very young fellow, 21 years of age, who died as a result of drinking this stuff. He arrived home from England on the day before Christmas Eve. That night, he decided to go to the local Shebeen for a drink. There were no public houses in the place at the time. At least there was only one full-time functioning public house, where there are now six. And before going out, he gave his mother something like £20. Didn't see himself shot, naturally, for the Christmas. The night was a very bad night, pouring rain. He wasn't seen again until he was found lying dead on the side of the road, about halfway between his own house and this particular Shebeen, on the following morning. And a peculiar thing about it, even though the night was wet, his clothes were completely dry. The true story of what actually happened may never have come out, but it's believed that he actually died in the Shebeen and that every penny he had was taken from him. Post-mortem revealed that he died as a result of asphyxiation.
Oh, whiskey, you're the devil, you're driving me astray. Over hills and mountains unto America. You're stronger, nicer, decenter, or spunkier nor tay. Oh, whiskier, me darling, drunk or sober.
The cold blasts of Puritanism that blew across the country in the early decades of the new state caught the fire under the Poitin still. The church called it the devil's brew, and traced the sins of the congregation to the bottle of fiery liquid.
Well, that very famous man, Antara Conaila Asari, he went all over Connemara. He began in 31. And he gave, with Antara Goira, another gentleman, and they gave a series of missions. They gave them in Kerry, they gave them in Connemara, they gave them in Donegal, they also gave them in Scotland. But at that time, Poitin was rampant everywhere. You know, in certain dioceses, a reserve sin, very much so in Donegal, and I believe for a while in Galway. But anyway, At that period, from an Tharaconil's point of view, to make poitín, to drink it, was worse than to commit the chief sexual sin in Ireland in the past, which was that one that you know well. But this one was worse. And he used to make people come up to the altar at the end of the mission. He'd hold the cross in his hands, and he'd call upon them to promise, Nach nóladish poitín, nach nídadish poitín, Nach nienadish patin, nach macbaint na part na lavishtaka kapla patin. And in many places, Winkaro is one, Spittle is another, another in Arden, Rosmuck another, and there are other places where the crush, vishun as they called it. The effects were beautiful. I remember in Rosmuck in 31, it was the first day, by the way, I ever took patin. The teachers were called upon. Oh, yes, Father Conneal was a man of great influence on the people, and he frightened the lives out of them. And all those who were making poitín, they brought in their implements. They brought in the bra, the malt, which is, as they had made poitín. They brought in bottles of poitín, and the national teachers were called upon to burn the idols on the Sunday before they were going. And I remember I lived beside a shop here called Sean O'Walla, a very, very nice man long since dead, and I owed him £5 or £6, and I went in to pay it. And Johnny called me to the shed, into the sitting room to give me a drink. And he says, came out at Parliament not poitín. Doot me sha poitín. Because I was going over to burn it, and I did it as a protest. The first time in my life I took a drop of poitín. I went over my bicycle, and the teachers of the congregation were all there, and Father Conneal made a great sermon. I remember every word of it. So we got the order to ignite, and I remember I did so on a big vessel of poitín. By the way, my match went out and didn't light, etc., etc., etc. But anyway, most of us got rid of. And they had to swear or semi-swear or give that solemn promise that they have nothing to do with it. And then, of course, there were funerals. And at the funeral, you'll go in and you get a glass of whiskey and you put a half crown on the plate. So they didn't go in and the half crowns didn't go on the plate. And within 6 months, the clergy dispensed at the funeral, so you could have it at the funeral.
It's all in my kitchen, Agus chyri cherry lun mwychion Is olyn mar y dyr ni los i dy Gwel hi'n pel y ti me cheon.
One of the best stories I heard was from Michael J. Murphy. Once again, you know, when they made poitín making a reserved sin up in my diocese, the Derry diocese, the old story about the two men who cycled from Greencastle in the Spirans up to Derry to go to confession to the bishop, and the penance he imposed on the two of them were that they weren't to speak to each other all the way back to Greencastle, so they had to cycle all the way back in silence. But there was literally was an old man up there in the mountains, and when it was made a reserved sin, he was a poitín maker, but he was also pious. And he had a bottle up in the thatch of his house, and he wouldn't touch it, because apparently it was a reserved sin, I gather, to even to transport the stuff. Like, if I carried a keg of it from here to there, I was a reserved sinner. Whatever exactly that is. But this old chap wouldn't allow anybody to touch the stuff that was in the thatch. And he fell ill, he was bedridden, and from his bed he could see the stuff in the thatch, and he wouldn't let anybody touch it because it was a sin to touch it. So somebody said to him, "We'll drink it at your wake," to him once, which I thought was rather an unkind remark, and they did too. They took it down out of the thatch and drank it.
Symbolism could be a powerful weapon when composing the poetry of poitín. Never was it more lyrical than when summoned by the Clare poet Sean O'Shanachain, who likened the elixir to a dark, slender boy on Buachal Kale Dove. The dark, slender boy is tall and festive, clever and learned, of comely mien. 'Tis he who has afflicted me and ruined me for life and left me impoverished. If I were to go to France or the harbour of Hoth or thence at a bound to Inishmore, the wretch would come panting after me were I to be away from him for a single hour of the day.
What is the story of the Spittle Cross?
Well, the story I heard, it was Colm McLaughlin had the story, the Redemptorists of that big cross put up, and the theory was that repentant potsheen makers were supposed to come and put their machinery there, the worm and such. And there was one terrible hard case who wouldn't repent at all, but they finally got around to him and he repented, and he came in to put his worm at the foot of the Spittle Cross, and when he looked around, there were lots of worms and the general thing lying around there, and he saw a better apparatus than the one he had himself, so he weakened again and he went away with the better apparatus, having left his own at the foot of the cross. Patrick McGill's comic novel Lanty Hanlon. I always think of it as if the playboy of the Western world had taken over and written the play himself. It's a very good comic novel about this wild big Donegal man who's filled with... It's a sort of parody on the whole Irish development schemes and all this sort of thing, and the inherent crack in the Irish nature that makes all these things end up in deplorable failure. Lanty has plans for everything, but there's always some disaster that overtakes his plans just before they come to fulfilment. And the old woman, and one of the old women in the story say, of course, the result, the reason for this is that he was baptised in Potsheen, because the Stillers were being chased by the police on the day that the baby was being brought to be baptised, and not knowing where to put the stuff, they filled the holy water barrel in the church with Potsheen, and when the baby was brought along, he was baptised in the stuff, which, according to this old lady, accounted for the disaster that always overtook his best-laid schemes.
Prior to the establishment of the Free State, the potsheen maker was flaunting British law, and there was widespread sympathy for him. Some of this was understandable. The shebeen keeper, the distributor, the barley grower, and the potsheen drinker all had a vested interest in the good fortune of the distiller. He was also admired for his craft, and his crime was only tax dodging on a rather minor scale. And it was not unknown in the 18th century for an over-officious gauger, the revenue officer of the time, to permanently disappear in the mountains while searching for a still. Many of today's Gardaí take a more sensible approach. They carry out a few raids around Christmas, and photographs of them destroying stills and spilling barrels of wash appear in the local newspapers. Pictures in the local papers are very important. However, some maintain that the best connoisseur of potsheen is often the local Garda. But the potsheen maker is breaking the law, and the guard has to do his duty.
I remember another occasion searching a particular house, and I was warned to be careful going into a particular room. There was a child asleep in a bed. Anyhow, I decided to have a look at the baby, and I found the baby was in a jar. 2 gallons of potsheen, nicely wrapped. There was the child that was in it.
Be planning the action to the change of Nero the Kirwawach. Humbisha in Fintishke, it is Gilchen, it's like my hand where the dead in there. For you, couldn't shun the guard, they have to get out. August, because at the shine of a teen, lay it wold, that it wold, the lackey mark the quite petomption. August, because at the rolling cheese, the crew do, no cake potting, no couple of cake potting, a leaf in mould, come into the tear fire that the moon is good, the rank the guard is there.
No work at all would be done that day, and the children would go up to the highest hill to watch for the guards. After the raiders had left empty-handed, the people used to laugh and joke into the night about how some of the guards stood on the top of the very spot where the still was buried. At Christmas, all sorts of people used to come up the mountain looking for a drop. Solicitors, court clerks, bank managers and TDs. If you wanted the TDs to do anything for you, you just had to give them a bottle of potsheen. It was better than any sum of money.
This fellow walked into a still house one night and was actually running at the time. played it very cool, so he just got a little glass, took a drop of the Thusafota, as it's called. It was coming out of the drip at the time. Sampled it. And he says, it's Brian Vrain and Towns more of a leg orta.
Oh, they're going to tax the brandy ale and whiskey, rum and wine. They'll tax the tea and sugar, the tobacco, snuff and pipes. They're going to tax the fish that swim and all the birds that fly. And they're going to tax the women who go drinking on the sly.
Ah, well, the first time I saw it in Medvis, I was very young. Indeed, I was only about 15 years age when I saw a man making it. And I sort of gathered up the trade. And then again in later days, I tried it myself. And I was fairly successful. Went on for quite a while, but then the law got after me a wee bit. So they gave me a wee bit of a caution. They put me inside for a while. I got a wee bit of a rest. They weren't too hard on me after all, 3 months.
I think it's strange how times have changed so very much of late. Coercion now is all the row with the peelers at the gate. To take a glass is now, alas, the greatest crime of all. Since Balfour placed that hungry beast, the sergeant in Grouse Hall.
In fact, there was a fellow newspaper man of mine, Michael O'Halloran, now in England, who was looking for a bottle once and for a friend, a visitor too, and was told, well, if you're passing through a certain town in the west, you can stop at such and such a house and pick up the bottle. The such and such a house happened to be the guards barracks where he picked up the bottle for the visitor.
The British Imperial Government failed to put down Poitiers. The Republican Government of 1919-1921 went at it in a big way. They failed. Old Mr. Cosgrove's Government of the Free State failed ingloriously. De Valera's government fell to pieces on it, and I'd swear the coalition today can't solve it, and Richie Ryan can do nothing about it.
Church or state, priest, gauger, or IC-man or garda, the poitrine maker lives on.
People are always condemning it. The church condemned it, naturally the state condemned it, losing money. And of course, from the social point of view, people had to be critical of it also. But the first thing I must say on the positive side was that it saved lives. While the great flu was on in 1918, it saved people's lives over there. It also then had this effect that it gave a certain amount of money to certain people, the people who made it, who were poverty-stricken. And the people who sold it, also, I mean, the Sheehan's made a little money on it. Although people always say this, they had a shanuckle about it, among themselves, that poitrine making was never lucky and the people never made money on it.
An cuin a bhfuil cuairsaí lá na hÁire maidir le dialachán poitín?
Well, in te mbinne inniu ní dheolam hen poitín, teag an óga nach dheolam poitín. Ach, chólam a gáda rá, rindom, in sin, ní da dárda an tóil go dearnach. Chuisach am hád agus nara leidzó go nach cuinne é cearacht, agus tá leidzó go gerad a cina lín meirach, go leis deach a ge poitín stilnú i dán sa bit, i de dhúma. Tá buidil poitín na fáinach ar gá fond, dus mu agus tá sé fonte bhfuil deal fiscí agus tá túlach a banana fáil bocaí nú súgach nú glasúgach éir bhfuil deal patín agus dúirt ú gáda se gur níos mú cúisim ní sa gúirt má dheal ar gádiacht agus tréid agus gleó agus brín agus áchan agus eile ná bhí riamh go bhhar an nádú sin ina ól má ní mar a chéile ól pórtar agus ól patín.
Cáth mu potíí na nidal mar annach mu mainland och na gádíar nigus ní mu tíochtta nó go dí stecha ach na tá mudé nián tá bag an níí sábáil mar ar géadú ní bheith matéinim cai an féitm bedig bheitach mdro. Féitach mdra he mainland ach leis an náte mainland a sé ré níos tabbine. Há bheith ceíochtta be háimi ies a chaach feice túíochtta dat tútóíocha. Ús nem fagó tú ní sábáil te nián má cai sé de bádúté nógus. Chuir bhargus aine dís copranóméid a beh chun sé léile sem máil ach nó a dítóchéana agus na stúil chuhálach nó chuideach chuhálcha.
It's now dark, about 6 o'clock. Darkness has fallen and we're leaving the island. Poitrine making is over for the day. Been rowed back to the mainland. It's extremely cold.
The rain has stopped, but it's extremely cold, black, bitter winter day, and the poutine making is over.